Welcome back to the Wrong Opinion Useless NBA Trivia and Garbage Rankings. This week we are doing the best two never made an all NBA team. Let's crank right into it. First off, I do want to mention, I left Dan Issel off this team because he made a lot of all ABA teams, but no all NBA teams. And that might seem just, I have another guy who made all NBA, all ABA teams, but never all NBA teams. It's just gotta be like the majority of your career, okay? Because Dan Issel, he had a full career in the ABA. The other guy, he had 2 years in the ABA, made one all ABA team, and he just wasn't an all NBA. It's different, you know. And I think that makes sense. So we got three teams: point guard, shooting guard, etc. First team point guard, Lenny Wilkins. I think he's probably the best player who never made an all NBA team other than centers. Point guards, there weren't too many. There were a couple very, like, mid-range, borderline Hall of Famers. Lenny Wilkins, though, one of the greatest basketball names of all time because he was the last player coach, all-time coach. Now, somehow, in 1968, second in MVP voting, in an era where guards, anybody but centers, just didn't win. In fact, from 1964... until 1961, there were no MVPs who were not centers. And yet, he was second, 1968, not on the All-NBA team. I don't know how that works. Obviously, there are different people voting. MVP, I believe, back then was voted upon by players. All-NBA was the media, as it is now. But for his career, he was a 17-7 on some good Hawks teams early in his career, and then kind of middle around with Seattle and Cleveland on teams that just didn't make the playoffs. But he's still top 25 all-time in assists. First team shooting guard. Shooting guard is very, very weak, especially compared to point guard. I think it's the weakest position, and that is shown by our first team, Rolando Blackman, not to be confused with Ronaldo Balkman, which is super weird that there are two guys with basically the same name who played 15 years apart. Balkman played, so he was a four-time All-Star with Dallas. He ended his career with the Knicks. He was on that 94 Knicks team that went to the finals. Played six games in those playoffs, 6 minutes a game. But for his Dallas career, 19 points a game, just awesome score. That's pretty much all he did. It was just get buckets in a very old-school fashion, you know, drive, mid-range, short-range. Didn't shoot threes, nobody did back then. Did not take a lot of free throws compared to how you would think. He was very Monte Ellis-y, a little bit taller than Monte Ellis, but just that old school kind of shooting guard that you don't see anymore. He was the second best player on his team when Mark McGuire was shooting around with him. And when he became the best player on his team, the team just wasn't that good. Mark McGuire somehow didn't make this list because our small forward section is so loaded. First team small forward, Chet Walker. He was the third probably best player on a team that won a title, 67, 19 points a game. 19 points a game on a title-winning team. That's pretty freaking good. 22 points a game in those 15 games in the playoffs. That was Philly, of course, with Wilt in 1967. He moved on to Chicago for a couple years, and that's where he became, you know, the main guy, pretty much. 20 points a game for a couple years. Still never made the all-NBA team. His team's best season was 74-75. Those couple years, they went pretty deep in the playoffs, and those were his last two seasons. He was still putting up 19 a game, even when he was 33-34, which is just incredible. He just did not miss games throughout his entire career. Really reliable dude. I think he's James Worthy. He's the prototypical small forward. His nickname was the Jet, making him the third guy to be nicknamed the Jet. Wild to me. Not bad for a second round pick. One of the best small forwards of the 60s and early 70s. First team power forward, the guy I said made an all ABA team, but we're not including that just because he only made one. He played 2 years in the ABA. This is Bobby Jones. Probably the best defensive power forward of the early 80s, maybe the entire 80s. Unless I'm missing somebody, but definitely the early 80s. High percentages throughout his career, which is awesome. He was on that 78 Denver team. Led by, of course, David Thompson, and then traded to Philly for George McGinnis in a really ahead of its time trade where McGinnis is a quote-unquote superstar. Bobby Jones did the dirty work of, you know, getting two blocks, two steals every game. Defensive menace. And they end up taking him off the bench, which is interesting because normally you see defensive guys starting and offensive players coming off the bench, if that's the case. But he won Sixth Man of the Year. I think that was the first Sixth Man of the Year in 1983. Never got All-NBA, which makes sense. You know, just defensive maestro. But fourth best player on a team, maybe third best player on a team that won a title in 1983. And one of the top 10 to 15 best defensive power forwards of all time. Especially for that era, because that was kind of pre-when power forwards were good. First team center. Now, center is absolutely loaded because there are only two spots. Especially back in the day when there were a lot of good centers. So number one, our first team, Nate Thurmond. Nate Thurmond never made an All-NBA team. That's crazy. He played 14 seasons. He was the guy that replaced Wilt Chamberlain. That's just an absolutely huge, just massive shoes to fill, right? His rookie year, 7 points, 10 rebounds a game in 26 minutes. Just all-time rebounder. 20 rebounds a game, back-to-back years in 67, 68. He was second in MVP voting that 67 season where he lost in the finals along with Rick Barry to Wilt, Chet, and the Sixers. He ended up playing with Chet in 1975 with Chicago, kind of past his prime there, and that's when they won a title. First quadruple-double, of course, a lot of all-star games, a lot of all-defensive teams, a lot of MVP votes, never a single all-NBA team. So that's our first team, Lenny Wilkins, Rolando Blackman, Chet Walker, Bobby Jones, Nate Thurmond. Second team, point guard, Mo Cheeks. If you told me that you think Mo Cheeks is the best defensive point guard of all time, I wouldn't call you an idiot. I don't think it's accurate, but yeah, you can make the argument. Throughout the entire 80s, I mean, he was just a steady 12-7 and then 2 steals a game. He was third in Defensive Player of the Year voting in 83. Now, back then, they were just more prone to vote for guards. The first player to win was a guard. Most of the first couple between Michael Jordan, Moncrief, Robertson, all guards. But from 83 to 88, Defensive Player of the Year votes every single year. Four defensive first teams, just zero All-NBA teams. And this was a kind of a loaded era for that position. But just guards in general. But still, top 20 all-time in assists. Oh, yeah, top, okay, 16th all-time in assists, 20th in playoff assists, 6th in steals, 9th in playoff steals. So just all-timer. Second team, shooting guard. Again, this position is pretty freaking weak. Going Byron Scott. Now, a lot of these guys is like, oh, I'm surprised he never made an All-NBA team. Byron, he's not really surprised. And it'll be the same for our third team. But for his career, 14 points a game, 22 points a game, leading scorer in the 88 Lakers that won a title, by the way. Do it all, he's just kind of the ideal shooting guard to pair beside Magic. Kind of the shooting guard you see a lot now today, where he's undersized, but he can shoot threes, he can hang defensively. You'd see Byron Scott beside Luka or beside Ben Simmons. But just beside these oversized non-defensive point guards. I led the league in three-point percentage the second season, 43% on 0.7 attempts per game. It's just wild. Second team, small forward, his teammate for a while, Jamal Wilkes, rookie of the year in 1975. 3 years in Golden State where he was an all-star on a team that won a title his rookie year. Went to the Lakers and actually had better stats with the Lakers despite being on a more loaded team, which is just interesting. His 27-year-old season, like a lot of guys, was his peak. 10th in MVP voting, all-star, 23 points a game. This was the worst playoff performance, but it was kind of bookended by two titles, so, you know, life goes on. But for that first iteration of these Lakers, he was the go-to option. Where Kareem was the go-to half-court guy, Jamal Wilkes was just kind of the focal point of their run-and-gun offense, right? And you needed this kind of dude, the athletic, do-it-all, small forward, Hall of Famer, no All-NBA teams. Second team, power forward, either the first or fourth best player in a title team, which is kind of the cool part of that 0-4 Detroit Pistons team, Rasheed Wallace. Now, in his Portland years, he peaked statistically with Portland, getting as high as 19 points a game, 8 rebounds. First guy to hit 100 threes and have 100 blocks in a season. Now that happens 17 times every year. That's an exaggeration. But when he came to Detroit, that's when he became more level-headed. Not too much where it castrated him. That's a terrible way to say that. And better defensively as well. And that's just exactly what this team needed, where you can have four guys who can switch. Only twice got MVP votes. And I'm not particularly surprised he never made an All-NBA team, because what he does, it just doesn't relate to All-NBA teams, right? He's a glue guy. He's the ideal glue guy. Second team center, Bob Lanier. Another shocker, just because it's a center, you know? Like, how do you make 8 All-Star teams and have 0 All-NBA teams? Like, Joe Johnson had an All-NBA team. But it's just the 70s where there were a lot of good centers, only 2 spots. 25.7 points per game in 1972. 14 rebounds. Amazing shot blocker. 3 blocks a game the first year they kept track. 3rd in MVP voting in 74. Now, his most playoff success came with Milwaukee late in his career, when he was, you know, just a shell of himself. 10 seasons in Detroit, 5 in Milwaukee. But 5 of his 9 playoff years came with Milwaukee. It's just crazy. Known for his giant feet and his powerful offensive game. So that's our second team, Mo Cheeks, Byron Scott, Jamal Wilkes, Rasheed Wallace, Bob Lanier. 13, point guard. I struggled with this one. A couple different dudes you could go with. Going Norm Nixon. I think too many people think of him as the guy Magic replaced, but they played together for a few years and it went really, really well. 4 years playing together with Magic, and he was 17-8, which just shows the pace of that team. And then with the Clippers, he was 17-11 his first year after leaving Magic. And then by his 3rd season, had injury issues, and then knee injury, Achilles, missed 2 straight seasons. It just fell apart after that, but he was a top, I don't know, 10 point guard for an 8-year stretch there. Didn't make any playoffs as the best player on his Clippers teams, but come on, those Clippers, like, can you really blame him for that? His best chance probably would have been on those Clippers teams, because he was getting the most stats, but the teams just sucked, so what are you going to do? 3rd team shooting guard, again, not a huge shocker. Jason Terry. He did play 19 years. It's pretty freaking good. 6th man of the year in 09. One of the all-time 6th man of the year players. 5 straight years where he was top 3 in 6th man voting. His best year was, statistically, I should say, was 02. He was getting 38 minutes a game, which he never got on good teams. 19 points, 5.5 assists. He ended up being a point guard for a couple years there for those Atlanta teams, getting 7-8 assists a game a couple times. But what he was just an off-the-bench 3-point dagger. 38% for his career, so, you know, solid. Those early Dallas teams, he was taking a few less, but hitting 44%. And then he just kind of let it fly from 09 to 2011, and that's exactly what that 11 team needed. In those finals, 18 points a game, cooking LeBron. Absolutely love it. Very few guys, I think, have, like, of this caliber, very few role players, I think, have their careers remembered differently because of one title as much as Jason Terry does. Now, a lot of guys, like Robert Horry, has his career looked at differently, but that's because he has 7, or Andre Iguodala, but he has 4. Andre Iguodala is our 3rd team small forward. You could have said Mark Aguirre, but I don't know. I think Iggy's better. He had a long, long career. I think people forget that. He played 19 years. Until last year, he played 8 games. But because those Philly and Golden State teams were just so different in how he played, because he was the guy for Philly, you know, 20 points a game, hovering around there for a couple years and getting a lot of assists, high usage. He became a better 3-point shooter with Golden State and just stopped being a threat offensively other than a spot-up guy and a trail guy. That 2014 team, he hit so many game winners. So that's when Max Kellerman said that I would take Andre Iguodala. And it wasn't wrong then. It ended up being definitely wrong. But from these Golden State teams, he became remembered as one of the greatest wing defensive players of all time. Might be a little bit overblown, but like, without him, I don't know. I think he probably still win most of those titles, but it's a lot harder. 13 power forward, Paul Millsap. He just had a stretch there where it's like, wow, he's actually good? Okay. Because the late 2000s, early 2010s, he was like a solid player. You thought of him sometimes. And then with Atlanta, those 4 straight years, he made All-Star teams. Our teams that were winning, they won 60 games in 2015. I was like, is he a superstar? It was like 18, 7, and 3. Really good defensive numbers and then good percentages. I think he should have made an All-NBA team in 2015. They won 60 games. Like, you should just give it to him. Let's see what that team was. He was 17th in MVP or in All-NBA voting that year. So behind Kawhi, this was kind of pre-Kawhi. This was when he was, Kawhi was Defensive Player of the Year, but he wasn't scoring a lot then. So you could argue that Kawhi should have been All-NBA too. Tim Duncan was 13. 2015? I don't know about that. Blake Griffin. Oh, wow. Okay. LaMarcus Aldridge. Pau Gasol was second team. Yeah, maybe it makes sense to leave Millsap off. See, when you break it down, sometimes it makes sense with most of these guys. Third team center, another Hall of Fame all-time center that just didn't have the cards right. Jack Sikma, 14 years, most of which came with Seattle. Fantastic free throw shooter, especially for those days. You don't see a lot of high shooting numbers for centers. Led the league in percentage in 88 in free throw percentage. He was the first great three-point shooter at the center position. Didn't take him for most of his career. Then 89, 90, 91, his last three seasons. Shot 38, 34, 34% while taking 2 to 3 a game. And it just kind of showed. That was just a really early iteration of this, like, man gets older, just step out and have a longer career. Now, of course, most of his career was, you know, 19 and 12. A really good passer and nice defensive player. But just imagine if he was taking threes early in his career. That being said, I don't want him to be reliant on that. I think a lot of guys, Karl Anthony Towns, is too reliant on his three-point game and his skill game rather than being, you know, big and tall and strong. But it's just a nice weapon to have. But whatever, this is celebratory. He won a title in his second year after losing it his first year. Probably the second best player on that title team, second or third best player. Seventh in MVP voting that year, 16 and 12, but no All-NBA teams. If you think I missed somebody or you hate my wrong opinions, tweet me at WrongOpinionNBA. We're going to be back next week. We're done with the teams. That was a three-week section. We're into stats. The best players at a certain stat who never led the league in that stat. So we're combining every single stat. So, you know, point guards will be assists and shooting guards will have points and yada yada. We're combining them all. See if that makes sense. But until then, peace out.